So the last stanza we sang together in this song we just sang is that God would establish the labor of our hand and establish by the Lord for his glory. The previous verse said that God would be glorified in the work that we perform, that it would be to his praise. So let's turn in our Bibles now to Nehemiah chapter 5, in our continuing series through Nehemiah. We're finishing chapter 5 today. You remember from the last couple chapters, we have been looking at the various gifts and talents and abilities that God has given to us with that dual purpose of building the church within, but also strengthening the church to go out and to extend the kingdom by making the reign in Christ known evident in this world. So Nehemiah chapter 5, we're going to read verses 14 to the end of the chapter. Nehemiah chapter 5, starting at verse 14. If you're using the Pew Bibles, then that's page 473. Nehemiah chapter 5 at verse 14. Moreover, from the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when I was appointed to be the governor in the land of Judah, until his 32nd year, 12 years, neither I nor my brothers ate the food allotted to the governor, but the earlier governors, those preceding me, placed a heavy burden on the people and took 40 shekels of silver from them in addition to food and wine. Their assistants, or their servants, also lorded it over the people. But out of reverence for God, I did not act like that. Instead, I devoted myself to the work on this wall. All my men were assembled there for the work. We did not acquire any land. Furthermore, 150 Jews and officials ate at my table, as well as those who came to us from the surrounding nations. Each day, one ox, six choice sheep, and some poultry were prepared for me, and every 10 days, an abundant supply of wine of all kinds. In spite of all this, I never demanded the food allotted to the governor, because the demands were heavy on these people. Remember me with favor, O my God, for all I have done for these people. And that's as far as reading in God's word this morning. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this morning as we return to Nehemiah the governor, we find a most fitting and encouraging example of generosity and hospitality found in the Old Testament church. Over the past few chapters in the book of Nehemiah, we have seen that there has been attacks from without, that those who were surrounding Jerusalem were attacking from the east and the west, the north and the south. They were trying to frustrate the plan, trying to kill the builders. And Nehemiah equipped the people. He gave them a sword and a trowel so that they could continue the work, but also defend themselves from the advances of the enemy. But there was not only attacks from without, there was attacks from within. There was discouragement. There were people calling for the work to cease on the wall because there were more pressing matters. And Nehemiah is also dealing with this discouragement from within the community. There's a heavy burden placed upon the people. So the devil not only tries to attack from without, but also tries to discourage from within, to get us to focus on other things that seem to be more pressing so that we give up, we forsake the work of the ministry to which we are each called. So today we are going to find that Nehemiah is not only encouraging by telling the people what they should do, as the opening chapter says. Remember, he was talking to all the various leaders and rulers within the city, saying, stop oppressing the people. Stop charging these huge rates of interest. Give freely. So Nehemiah not only tells the people, he shows the people with this great illustration and example of his life. Now, the name Nehemiah means this: the comfort of the Lord, the comfort of Jehovah. That's what the name Nehemiah means. So today we are going to see how the Lord is going to use Nehemiah to bring comfort from the Lord to the people. Now, we live in a society, in a world where hospitality is a neglected gift. Our generation is one which has no remembrance of sitting on front porches, conversing with neighbors. We now live in a segregated, closed-off society. In fear, we build walls and fences to keep out what we view as the enemy. There's such a focus on the individual, on my needs and my wants. The whole concept of community, it has fallen on hard times. So today we see that Jesus Christ calls us to revive the gift of hospitality with the example of Nehemiah. As we've seen before, we are called by God to use our gifts for the glory of God, but also for our neighbor's good. And the gift in particular view today is a generous hospitality. We start then with our passage revealing the need for this generosity, how the passage opens up and sets the stage by showing how there was a pressing need in this context. Our passage starts by saying, in former times, there were governors who had gone before, who had oppressed, this is verse 15, they had oppressed the people, placing heavy burdens upon the people. They took 40 shekels of silver in addition to all the food and wine. The previous governors, now remember Nehemiah was a regional governor sent by Artaxerxes. The previous governors who had ruled over Jerusalem, who had ruled over this area of Judea, had been extremely oppressive. They had been harsh and domineering. They were adding tax upon tax, oppressing the poor. They were kind of like a foolish King Rehoboam. Remember King Rehoboam, one of the early kings in Judah? He sought to pave the streets of Jerusalem with the blood of the poor. These previous rulers had loaded on taxes and charged the people with incredible amounts of food and wine, thus lining their own pockets. They acted like gods over the common man. It was so bad, as verse 15 says, that even their servants, even their assistants, were lording it over the people. That's not a phrase we tend to use very often, but the concept of being a lord, being a king over your equal, that someone whom God created to be your equal, you are positioning yourself above them so that you are viewed as someone who is superior, who has the right to demand everything. It was almost like those cruel taskmasters of Egypt. Those taskmasters that cracked the whip and made the people work, demanding bricks while living a life of ease. Proverbs 28, verse 16 says this, a tyrannical ruler practices extortion. Or think of what was happening in Zechariah chapter 11. In Zechariah chapter 11, the Lord, through the mouth of the prophet Zechariah, was saying, you shepherds are oppressing the sheep. You're slaughtering the sheep. You rulers of the nations of Israel, you're slaughtering the ones who I have charged you to take care of, to protect and provide for. So in our passage, the previous governors were intimidating, badgering, oppressing. But added to the oppressive previous governors, we look at verse 18, and we find that this was a time of great need. Verse 18 ends in this, that the demands were heavy upon the people. The need was great. Remember the context. What's going on in this particular time is that there was a famine. There is a lack of bread. There is a lack of rain, so that there's very little crop that is being grown. Added to that, we have these taxes that are due the Persian Empire. King Artaxerxes continued to demand his monthly tribute. It's starting to add up, and the people were being called by Nehemiah to build the wall, to do the work. So we put these things together. We got the famine, we got the tax of the Persia, and we got the work of the wall that's all coming together, and it's becoming this huge demand. The specific word at the end of this verse that we just read, this verse 18, this heavy burden upon them, that's the exact same word that we find in Exodus 1 and 2 that describes the slavery and that resulting burden upon the people. The people that cried out because the burden, the yoke was heavy upon them. They were oppressed. And that's what we're finding in our passage. It's almost as if we're returning to this concept of Egypt, of bondage. The people are being oppressed by the work. The former governors were the slave drivers, taskmasters. Their life is becoming a drudgery, akin to slavery. But that's kind of what we find in our world today, isn't it? Because we live in a world which is filled with drudgery. Many people view work as slavery. We all have our taxes. We all have our medical bills that need to be paid. And we have work which we are called to perform, which is breaking our bodies. Toil and labor. We see the work we're called to do as returning to the salt mines. We are heavy laden. We have barely enough strength to do the work that we are called to do, much less the strength to help anyone else. Sin has harsh consequences, which are aggravated by oppressive men. We live in a dog-eat-dog world, getting rich off the back of the poor, oppressing strangers. So our context isn't all that different from the context in which Nehemiah was called to serve. It's in this context of need that Christian hospitality and generosity comes to all its brilliance and light. But not only do we find the negative reason why hospitality and generosity is needed, Nehemiah sets before us the positive reason why he himself was committed to showing this generosity and hospitality. Remember previously in chapter 5, verse 9, Nehemiah says he lived in the fear of the Lord. Our passage says the same thing in verse 15. If you're looking there at verse 15, how it ends, out of reverence for God, I did not act like that. Out of my fear, my worship, my service, my acknowledging of the greatness of God, I did not act like the previous governors, because I respect the Holy One of Israel. You see, the Lord God himself has set an example of what it means to be generous and to have hospitality. One of the themes that runs through Scripture is the concept of God preparing a table for his people, of God providing for the needs, generously giving to his people when they don't deserve it. You find it in the Garden of Eden. You find it in the Psalms. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You find it in the book of Revelation with that marriage supper of the Lamb. This concept of God providing a table, a fellowship of peace, runs through Scriptures. And those who know God's hospitality will be quick to show hospitality to others. That covenantal meal, when we receive it, we will be moved. God's generosity moves us to be generous. We saw this on Ascension Day in Pentecost. Jesus Christ resurrected and ascended as the glorious King, but instead of exacting gifts, instead of charging tax, Jesus gives gifts. He gives blessings. You see, Jesus Christ himself is the one who provides comfort. Remember what the name Nehemiah means. The comfort of the Lord. Isn't that really what Jesus Christ is and does? He gives the comfort of the Lord. It's as if the Father prepares a table and the Son sets the table in the presence of his people, as we saw last week with the Lord's Supper. Jesus Christ is the comforter of the Lord, the comforter who calms our fears, who heals our sorrows. He's the good shepherd that leads us beside quiet waters, who restores our souls. So there is a positive example that Nehemiah had in mind, this theme of God providing a place. Of God providing a place of rest. And really for us as a congregation, as we've been looking at Nehemiah, one of those, if there is an overarching theme in the book of Nehemiah so far, it's that God gives us gifts to use in the service of others, to build the church and extend his kingdom. And the gift in focus today is the gift of generous hospitality. But how do we define hospitality? What does that even mean? Well, hospitality is the open, free expression of Christian love. Hospitality carries the gospel on the platter of love. Hospitality is Christian love and service made visible. It's the table ministry that opens your house and your home to others. Hospitality is the place where foes become friends in the presence of a meal, where the poor traveler is taken in, where the weak are provided for. Our passage we read earlier in Romans chapter 12, if you still have it open, Romans 12 verse 13 says this, "Seek to show hospitality." The word hospitality there in the original is philosinos. Philo, which we get our word from being a philanthropist, philo means brotherly love. And sinos is stranger. So what is hospitality? It's the brotherly love of strangers. That's what it means to be hospitable. As Christians, we will be devoted to it. We will seek to show it like an artist to his craft, the musician to his instrument, dedicated to it. We'll love strangers because God in Christ loved us when we were strangers. That God in Christ took us in when we did not have a home. God in Christ provided a meal for us when we were hungry and thirsting. And Nehemiah knew this truth. Nehemiah understood generous hospitality because he was the recipient of it. Nehemiah knew when he looked at his history that God had brought his people out of bondage twice and brought them back to the promised land twice. That God was gracious and resettling them in the land of rest. As Christians, we're called to bring a little bit of rest, a little bit of God's grace. Our tables, our homes are havens in this dark and oppressive world, extending the comfort of a family to those who have none. Brotherly love to strangers, that is hospitality. So as we continue then, let's see how in our passage Nehemiah shows this generous hospitality. Now we know why, the context, the need, but let's see how he showed it in our passage. Look then at verse 17. Verse 17 says, "Furthermore, 150 Jews and officials ate at my table, as well as those who came to us from the surrounding nations." Not only did he, back in verse 14, refuse to exact the taxes, refusing to receive what would be considered the governor's rightful portion, he, out of his own pocket in verse 17, feeds hundreds of people every day. He feeds not only the Jews, but the Gentiles, the travelers, the Persian officials, the outsiders as well. He had a generous heart which opened his pocketbooks to show hospitality to his own kinsmen, but also those who are outsiders. That would be like us as Christians inviting into our home not only our family, our biological family, not only our brothers and sisters in Christ within our church, but our unbelieving neighbors invited into our homes, feeding those who are traveling. He does good and shows love to those he knew would never return the favor. Would never return the favor. That's who he welcomed into his house. And it was extravagant. Look at verse 18. Verse 18 says that every day one choice ox, six choice sheep, and some poultry were prepared, and every 10 days an abundant supply of wine. If you put these things together, a full-sized cow, 6 sheep, and some birds and wine in abundance, that would approximately be enough to feed about 600 people every day. Every day at the cost of his own money. Now, living in the United States, we enjoy cheap groceries, but I remember living in Canada, how grocery bills would quickly pile up. But can you imagine having a $5,000 bill of groceries every single day in order to provide food for this many people? This was no cheap expenditure. And as verse 16 says, he keeps his servants busy. Busy at the wall and busy preparing food so that nothing lacked. In this way, Nehemiah proves he understands his relation to God. That those who have freely received will freely give. But how do we apply this to us today? What does it mean for us? Well, as I read earlier in Romans chapter 12, the call to hospitality and generosity is an abiding command. Those who know God's love, those who have received his favor, will have a generous and open home. And it starts with our leaders. 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, this is the requirements of an elder. 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, let the elder be respectable, able to teach, and hospitable. That's the requirement of the elder. So elders like Nehemiah, who was a leader in his town, within our church, our leaders are called to show, to set the example of hospitality, inviting people into their home, giving of their hearts to those who they know will probably never return in kind. But not only our leaders are called to hospitality, Acts chapter 2, this is right after Pentecost, the entire church was a place of hospitality. They opened their homes and opened their hearts, the goods that they had, freely giving to others. Because the fact of the matter is, what goods have we received which aren't gifts from God? Are we but stewards of God's various grace? Loving others and serving strangers is to be the Christian identity. So let me be very concrete. What does hospitality look like? Hospitality means that you are willing and actually do invite people into your homes. That's love, brotherly love of strangers. Hospitality means that you take someone out for coffee. You invite an unbelieving neighbor to be a part of your life. If there are visitors at church, you go to them and you talk to them and then say, "Do you have a place for Sunday meal?" You have a cup of tea and cookie for anybody who stops by. That's hospitality. That's Christian, generous love of strangers. It's not a question of what must we do. It's a question of what has God given us so that we can do. 1 Timothy 6, verse 18, be generous and ready to share. Now, I know that everyone here has various reasons for not opening your house. Reasons like, my kids are too young, they have bedtimes. My kids are too crazy or hyper. My kids are sometimes out of control. I can't imagine having someone else in my house. Or Sundays are my family day. Or perhaps hospitality isn't my gift. I'm not comfortable. It's hard for me to do it. Well, let's look again at Romans chapter 12. Let's turn there again and let's read that passage together. Romans chapter 12, if you look at the heading above verse 9 there says love, or Christian sincere love. The marks, the ESV entitles this section, the marks of a true Christian. And then it goes on to say, A true Christian has love that is sincere. Then verse 13, share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Be devoted to brotherly love of strangers. The genuine love of a Christian's heart is seen in their hospitality. It is not the gift of some, but the calling of all true Christians. So in the spirit of Christ, I ask you today, how is your gift of hospitality being used? You have the gift. If the Spirit dwells within you, you have the gift of hospitality because you have received the riches of Christ. You've been equipped to perform the work of hospitality. So how is it being seen? Scripture says, don't just be a hearer, be a doer of God's word. Acts chapter 2, right after the Pentecost, people within the church were visiting from house to house, breaking bread together in communion. Yes, it takes effort. It's hard to put it into practice. Our society has forgotten this. But as Matthew chapter 10 says, whoever gives even a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus Christ will have their reward. Hospitality is not the same as entertaining. We have to be very clear here. Entertaining is when you have the fancy tablecloths and the crystal and the wine, and it's an event. You don't need that for hospitality. Hospitality can be, as it's been seen in our own house, hot dogs and spaghetti. We weren't prepared for having a huge family over, but you showed Christian love. It's a cool breeze, a refreshing rain upon a weary traveler. And as we work unto the Lord, Colossians 3 says, serving in word and deed through Jesus for the glory of our God. To conclude, Romans 15, verse 7 says, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. Nehemiah welcomed his hundreds because God had welcomed him into the covenant family. Today, Jesus Christ gives us a command, that's what Romans is, and an example, that's what Nehemiah is, to show hospitality and generosity, to show a brotherly love for a stranger. As the name Nehemiah means, the comfort of the Lord, that's what we are called to bring to this weary world. We have gifts that have been given to us from Christ for the expressed purpose of bringing a little bit of comfort, a little bit of encouragement to those weary travelers in this world. I've seen this love in the congregation. And from time to time, I hear it in our conversations. So may we all dedicate ourselves today to put into practice this kind of love, to think of others before our own, to rededicate ourselves to showing this fruit of the Spirit, hospitality, brotherly love of strangers. Because when we were strangers, Christ took us in. When we were starving, Christ feeds us. When we didn't have a home, Christ gave us a home. So use the blessings you have received to bring a little bit of that Christian love to those whom God puts in your path. As Good Samaritan showed, serving others, because of what we received in Christ. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege we have of being the recipients of your various grace. And we acknowledge, O Lord, the calling and example to show hospitality. We pray that by your Spirit we would be cheerful givers, that we would be motivated, that we would have a heart to love and serve because of what we have received in Christ. May our church be known in this world. May the world say, behold, look at how they love one another. May we be people of a generous, an open and loving heart that is quick to show hospitality to others. Through Jesus Christ and for his glory, amen.